You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us a leader who is worth following. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week, if you were here with us, we started off on this sermon series that we were calling Advent in Babylon. And the way that we started it off last week was we had everybody kind of close their eyes and imagine a time when, a sort of fictional time in your head, that you would wake up one day and you would find that you were in exile. You would find that you're no longer a citizen of the country that you're in, but people had taken you and they had placed you in a different place. And now you were in a foreign culture. You were in a place where maybe a lot of the things that you're used to doing don't make sense anymore. And we kind of talked about the way in which that maybe feels a little bit strange to imagine that, but in other ways it feels a little like what it means to be a Christian living in a sinful world. That being a Christian living in a sinful world means that we are in exile, that we're waiting for Christ to come, that we are a people that don't have our feet planted in the place where we know that we will eventually be. We don't have our feet planted in a place where we know that this is what is home, because we're looking forward to a home that will be provided to us by God. And as we look around in this world, we see that we're here. We see that we're living in this place. And yet, we recognize that this is not a permanent place for us. It's a temporary place for us. Depending on who you are in this room, you maybe understand that being here in Tallahassee. Maybe you're a student with us and Tallahassee isn't your home. Maybe it doesn't quite feel like exile, or maybe it does. But it feels like someplace that you're here for the moment. And maybe even a lot of you non-students might feel that way. That maybe this doesn't quite feel like home, but it feels like the place that you are for now. And you're kind of working through that experience of exile. Well, today we're going a little bit deeper into that experience of exile. We're drilling down into what it means for us to be exiles together in this world. As Christians living in a sinful world, we look around and we look at how we're supposed to live our lives as exiles. And one of the things that we probably recognize that we need is we need leadership, especially when we're in exile. We need somebody who will tell us, okay, this is the direction in which we're going. This is the way that we need to head. These are the decisions that we need to make. And sometimes it's easy for us to think, well, I'll just do that myself. But sometimes that gets us in trouble because we're not nearly as good a leader as what we think we are. We end up getting into all sorts of difficult places. And so we recognize that there's a need for leadership. For the people of Israel, there was another layer on top of that. There was a layer on top of that that kind of said, well, the entire reason that we're in exile in the first place is because of our leaders. The people of Israel looked back at their leaders, and they looked back at great leaders like David and Solomon. And that's what that psalm is all about. That psalm that was probably sung as a part of the coronation service of Solomon. That they were singing, you know, give to the king your wisdom. And that's something that God did. They recognized that Solomon was a wise king in so many different ways. He expanded the borders of Israel out beyond what they were, even under David. And yet Solomon was the last king like that. Because after Solomon, the kingdom split in two. There was north and there was south. And in each of those, there was a slew of bad kings. Israel having almost all bad kings, and Judah having, well, also almost all bad kings. And that had been about 400 years ago by the time that Ezekiel is writing in the Babylonian exile. So about 400 years of knowing that your country has been broken. It's been split in half. And now God was coming to you with a promise. With a promise that he was going to put the band back together again. A promise that he was going to take north and south and he was going to unite them once again. He was going to take these people that had been rivals to one another, that had clear boundary definitions, and he was going to bring them under one king, one shepherd. It wasn't going to be under two shepherds. It wasn't going to be under a bad shepherd. It was going to be under one good shepherd. And that seemed sort of strange to the people that were in exile. I mean, they probably knew their history well enough to know that that had not happened in a long time. Maybe it was something that we're yearning for, but it was also something that they didn't know could quite happen. If you've seen the play or the movie Hamilton, in there's a song, You'll Be Back. It's sung by the king of Britain at the time. He's telling these colonialists that they're going to come back. One day, they're going to come back to join up with England. And if you think about that, that's kind of probably what it feels like for the Israelites to be told, hey, you're going to get back together with the people that used to be on the other side of the border. It would be like if the United States and the UK suddenly decided, hey, you know what? You were right. I mean, that feels bonkers. That'd have to be a really good king. Have to be a leader that would somehow inspire us to come together in that way. And as we think about what kind of a leader that would be, in the relief of that, we look around at the leadership that we see in our world. We look around at the leadership that's around us and we go, I don't see that guy. I don't see that girl. I don't see anybody who is going to step in and be that kind of shepherd for the world, for our nation. Because that kind of shepherd seems inaccessible to us. And of course, we understand that. We understand that that kind of a leader is rare, maybe even incredible in its real meaning, that you have a hard time believing that that kind of person could even exist. That kind of a leader is hard to imagine because, well, we know ourselves. We know how we lead ourselves. We know how even we lead others. We know that our leadership is bound to fail at times. So when God makes these promises to his exiled people and says, hey, there's a leader. There's a leader who's going to get you together. This leader is going to take you out of exile. This leader is going to take you from this place in Babylon, and you're going to return to the city of Jerusalem. You're going to rebuild its walls. You're going to rebuild the temple. It all just sounds too incredible. And sometimes we get into that as Christians. You know, the things that Christ says about what his kingdom is supposed to be, a kingdom of light and not darkness, a kingdom of self-giving, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of all of these beautiful things. We kind of hear all of those things, and we hear them like we hear a politician giving us campaign promises. And we go, yeah, that's great, but I don't know that I really believe it. Can we really become that kind of church? Can we really become that body of Christ that's existing in the world? And we disbelieve it because, goodness, it is incredible. Who would be that kind of leader? Well, God answers that. He answers that to the people in Ezekiel's day. He answers that to the people in the Psalm. He answers that to the people that are Jews living in Rome at the time. He gives that even through his prophet, John the Baptist, who says, there is coming a leader. A leader that even John the fiery Baptist finds almost incredible. I'm not even worthy to hold his shoes. That leader being Jesus. That leader who promises to bring us out of exile. That leader that promises to destroy the things that separate us. The leader who promises to bring us complete forgiveness. That leader that promises to fix the world. Did you catch that in the Psalm? That this leader, this son, they wanted him to not only make all of the things of people okay, but he was even going to do stuff to the hills and the mountains. Pointing forward to a shepherd, a leader who could do all things. That's the leader that we at least claim to believe in. It's a leader who we claim to follow. Sometimes we might wonder, though. But then there's that moment in the midst of our disbelief that comes up and says, well, if he really is an incredible leader, if he really is this kind of leader that can do things that nobody else can do, if he really is that kind of leader, well, then he can do incredible things. If I believe in an incredible leader, I can believe that he can do incredible things in my life. I can believe that he can forgive my sins. I can believe that he can make me a better person. I can believe that his truth is the truth. And I can follow him. even in the midst of my exile here in a sinful world, waiting on that incredible promise that he has for me, that he will return. That's the king that we wait for. That's the shepherd that we look forward to, but that's also the Messiah that we have. So as you go forth into this next week of exile, remember that you have an incredible leader in Christ who promises that he will do incredible things with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.